Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days for Lives and Friends. This is Carrie. You can find me on Twitter at Diva Abdul. Please check out our blog, divaabdul.com. There you can join our Google Plus page, and you can also subscribe to the blog and get daily email updates. Facebook, we're actually down to just the page, Diva Days for Lives, because my Diva Days friend page got busted by the Facebook police because they didn't believe Diva Days was a real name. So they asked me to send paperwork to verify my name is Diva Days, and honestly, I don't have a paperwork that says that, so don't be surprised.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
It says too. So I thought they were stopping doing that, because I know RuPaul and a few other people were protesting. There are some famous people who don't have any legal paperwork, you know, that has their you know, famous name to it. So I thought that was all done. So I didn't really take the whole thing seriously. Yeah, why would I scan them my birth certificate or my driver's license? That's what they want you to do for a Facebook page. Stupid. But anyway,
like, apparently you need more documentation to be on Facebook than to get into the country. Is that what it's saying now?
Yeah, because, I mean, if I don't need ID to vote, why do I need ID to be on Facebook?
That's funny.
There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
they closed you down. So they closed your Diva down, the DVA one down?
Yeah, the front page, I haven't been able to access it at all. So I don't know what's going on there. I could probably look. So I have a link to Twitter, so there should still be my tweets and stuff on Facebook, but the like page, Diva Days for Lives, is still up. So, and also you can also join us here on Blog Talk Radio and follow our show on Blog Talk Radio, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes. So, you know, screw Facebook. So, we don't need them anyway. Yeah, screw them. So, it's been forever since I had a show, and it's our 200th. So we have such an anniversary tonight.
Our what? What's that?
It's our 200th podcast.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, not including interviews.
Wow.
So I did not include those.
Okay.
Yeah. With interviews, it's probably closer to maybe 300. I don't know, but yeah, I was just counting the podcast. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we've been on Blog Talk Radio 5.5 years. So I know.
That's hard. Time flies, isn't it?
Yeah, we just started yesterday. And, you know, I never would have thought 5 years later we'd still be doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So thanks for everyone who's been with us this whole time. And
thanks to everybody for supporting us.
Yeah, Marianne
and Rose.
Yeah, so, and all our other friends, Angela and Jan and Jamie, Kenneth.
Jen,
our
chat room folks with Jen and Jan when she's able to be there, and Jamie and all those good guys. So, yeah. And Kenneth, I wonder if Kenneth's calling in tonight. Has he been watching the show? Wonder what he's thinking of Paulson, whatever it is. I don't know what we are this week. But anyway, so that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But
I'm going to have you start with your Kate update. And she was looking pretty fierce this week.
Yeah. Well, she was only on one episode, so... It was a short week for Kate fans, but she was rocking it on it was Wednesday. But the main thing, I think the only scenes I remember that she was in was with Will. And I love them, though, because, you know, for a long time it seemed like Will was always going to Marlena for advice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it that Will was going to her, to Kate, and hanging out with Kate for a while and talking with her about his article and everything. And I loved watching – I loved having Kate talk like she knew baseball, you know, because remember how she – when she was dating Rafe, I mean, maybe
mm-hmm.
she learned something from Rafe on that because – she wasn't a huge fan of baseball before Rafe, but Rafe's a huge fan. So she acted like she knew what she was talking about Paul. And, you know, she basically, in talking with Will, she basically illuminated some things that made things click for him to realize that there was something else going on with Paul that he hadn't revealed. And so mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that, the exchanges that they had. It was really nice. So, yeah, it was nice. We had our Kate signing. It's been a little slim picking lately for Kate fans. But, yeah, so, yeah, is that, I think that's all right. I think that's, were those the only two she was in, I think, this week?
I'm trying to think.
I don't remember any others.
Do you think maybe the reason why they had Will go to Kate, not Marlena, is because of what happened after Will threw Paul a change-up?
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe blame it on Kate a little bit, because that was her advice for the change-up.
I don't know.
I don't know,
but I think he was using the angle of the Titan publishing and all that, but I just liked that he went to her, you know. Plus, the other thing was, even though Marlene is a psychiatrist and everything, I think it's cool that that Kate keyed in on the fact that that Paul was holding back something, and because
mm-hmm.
she's so good at, you know, it's like she's so good at that herself, kind of thing. It's like that, you know what I mean? So it's like she's oh yeah, it was a very well written article and everything, but I don't know him any more than I did before I read the article, because he's clearly keeping something back, you know. And I don't know, there's just some of the lines that she gave. It was like, it was, she's had insight into Paul because
mm-hmm.
of the way she thinks a lot of the time, I think. So it was really interesting, that whole process and how they worked that out. So that's all I saw of Kate this week, although she was looking awesome. And, so it seemed like there was a lot of,
and she
I guess.
Did, she did poke a fork at Jordan at the hospital.
Oh yeah, they showed the scene with Jordan. That's right. She had the scene with Jordan and Abigail, where they were, I guess they're doing this project, charity project, and Kate was kind of, yeah, I can't remember her exact line, but it was basically like, well, with you two idiots, you know, mm-hmm. what makes you think the board's going to want you two idiots doing it, you know, or running it or something like that. But she didn't use that exact language, but it was pretty funny. So
mm-hmm.
Anytime she can take a stab at Jordan, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there was that scene. And then, yeah, I don't know. Speaking of Jordan, I mean, like I said weeks ago, the only person on set, male or female, that Chad doesn't have some sort of chemistry with is Jordan. So what do? Put him with Jordan. I mean, I'm so glad to know that Jordan is on her way out eventually, because if I thought this was going to go on longer, I'd really be protesting.
mm-hmm.
Sadly, I just don't think, I'm nothing against Chriselle, but I just don't think she's effective in that role at all. And I don't know if it's the writing or what, but she always falls flat to me. I just don't buy it most of the time. So anyway, but,
Yeah, that's what's so odd. Just we have the new Chad. He's just knocking it out of the park. He's done fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even though it was kind of odd at first, because he was just so different from the original recipe Chad. And then,
he owned it. He owned it. He embraced it.
Oh, he owns it. Yeah, and Christopher Sean as Paul, I think he's fantastic. And he's got freaking chemistry with everybody.
Yeah, Paul's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I don't like what happened this week, but, I mean, Paul's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I mean, the actor is good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's odd. You have newbies that,
get right in.
And
just remember
Ben
when Chandler Massey started, he owned it from the beginning, too. You know, it's like, and Jordan hasn't owned it from day one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or Chriselle hasn't owned that role from day one. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ill-conceived, ill-written, ill-acted. I just don't even know where, you know. So I guess I can just leave it at that at this point. But
I think it kind of makes me wonder how they're writing her out. That's the only thing, you know. Is she going to find out Chad's full of crap and she leaves town or, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder what her exit plan is going to be.
I don't know.
Speaking of Jordan, Rachel on the unemployment line.
Yeah.
Chad took him out.
Chad got rid of him, got him out of the police force. So now I guess, I never realized that Victor and Rafe were such BFFs. But
oh, good, because I didn't get that either. I didn't understand that at all.
Vic has taken Rafe under his little wings, and he is now going to be employed with Victor. I guess Victor was looking for a new business. And I don't know if it has anything to do with Sonny or not or whatever, but he purchased this new property or whatever, and he wants Rafe to be the sort of head of security or something. I don't know. Man, he's like, we already have all of that in place, Victor. And he's like, yeah, but I want somebody to watch them. So he's basically being nice to Rafe. And I can't remember what the angle was that he would want to be nice to Rafe, but whatever it is, he's being nice to Rafe. So there you have it. So there's that. So Rafe is going to, he was talking about leaving town and going to Chicago, and then he'd just come back and visit Gabby, and then Victor comes along with a job, so he's going to be working for him, apparently. So does Chad have something, so like, okay, he's seemingly allowing Stefano to pull the string, be the master puppeteer, so... but does Chad still have his own agenda as well? Is he still playing Stefano, or is he falling in line with him again? You know, I don't know. Never know with Chad, but...
I bet Chad was the reason. Chad's the one who went after Rafe. I don't think Stefano had anything to do with it.
Stefano was like, I hear that Stefano was pleased that Chad had come up with that, even though, you know, so it wasn't, yeah.
We're discussing in chat room. We don't know why Chad is turning on Sonny, though.
I think things are lining up about with the Demira versus Kiriakis versus Clyde Weston thing is what I think. Because I don't know. I don't know either, but something's going on there. So. And then this whole you didn't see the end of the week, and so. Yeah, basically, here Sonny's being on the whole up and up with Paul. You know, he felt bad about still having a baseball that Paul had hit a home run on or something, which is rare for pitchers. So, and he had given it to him as a Christmas gift, so he decided he was going to return it to him. And, of course, I mean, it was to him, you know, after the conversation that Will had with Kate, he goes back and, you know, basically confronts Paul and, you know, basically like, are you gay, you know, kind of thing. So the long and short of it was, yes, he is. They started making out, and then they ended up sleeping together. And so basically Sonny comes over to return the baseball, and he hears the shower running, and Paul's like, oh, yeah, I got to hop in the shower. Thanks. Well, I wanted you to have this ball. It made me happy knowing that you had it, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the shower water goes off, and Sonny's like, you know. So, Paul, you know, so you, I don't, So Sonny doesn't know yet that that was Will, right? I mean, I don't think the way it ended, I don't think he knows. But yeah, so basically, Will basically hopped into bed with Paul, and I'm actually really disgusted with Will right now. Not too happy with him at all. And I don't know if Paul was doing that to break them up so that he could then have Sonny, or if he actually likes Will now. I mean, I don't know. But basically, the thing that bothered me was that I guess to me, Will didn't seem all that upset about the fact that he just cheated on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end, he kind of did, but it's like he was sitting there giving Paul advice afterwards and then cheering him on and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, dude, you just like, you know, cheated on your husband, you know? It's like, you don't even feel bad about it, you know, kind of thing. It just really bugged me the way that whole thing went down. So, I don't know. So I'm irritated with that right now. So not too happy at all. But I mean, I know they have to have obstacles and all that stuff, but it is kind of an interesting curveball, if you will, carrying the baseball analogy a little further. That here, I guess Sonny and Will don't realize they have Paul in common. I guess. I mean, does Sonny, because I've missed some episodes, I watched this week, but did Sonny realize that Will was interviewing Paul?
No.
Okay, so he doesn't know about it. Okay. So basically, does Paul realize Will is Sonny's husband?
No.
Paul doesn't know Will.
So they really know each other at all.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So it's a blind deal. Okay. Gotcha. So, okay, well, in that case, maybe Sonny, well, maybe Paul's not doing that just to break them up. I thought maybe he knew that was, I don't know. So, yeah, so I'm not sure about how that's all going to go now. But anyway, but that was how it ended Friday was basically, or one of the ways, one of the scenes that ended Friday was, Sonny not figuring it out, and then Will leaving, and I think he touched his wedding ring or something, or he looked at it or something as he was leaving. So anyway, and then of course we saw Adrian and Lucas talking it up, chatting it up, and getting closer while they were waiting for the babysitter to bring Ari back, and basically Adrian told Lucas, she hadn't told anybody else this, but she believes that Justin's cheating on her, that, you know, he's in Dubai or wherever. And actually those who watch General Hospital can confirm that because he's sleeping with other people over there. Anyway, but he goes by Ned there though. So Justin's cheating on Adrian. So Adrian's crushed. It's, you know, she's really bumming out, and so she's confiding in Lucas, and I think that's drawing them closer. So we'll see what happens.
I love Judy Evans, and I love Brian DiTillo. I just don't understand.
It's a pretty unusual deal, isn't it?
Although
I'm excited if this leads to a story for Lucas, I'm excited for that for him. But it is kind of an odd coupling, I will say that.
Yeah, why not have him with Jordan? Have him fight with Chad over Jordan?
No, please don't put anybody else that I like in Jordan's orbit.
I know, but
I know
Jordan,
like Serena or something, like he and Eric.
That
would
make
Serena
sense.
I don't know.
Or Nicole again, too.
Yeah, I don't know if Lucas and Nicole. Yeah, that was kind of bad deal.
Yeah, he doesn't have any issues with Teresa yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's not related to
her. There's plenty of fish in the sea, so why break up?
Women on the set that he could be. So I don't know. I guess it may be plot driven to put them together, but hey, I'm happy that Brian's got a story, and so, you know, if that's how it's going, I guess it will be interesting to see what it looks like when it happens, I guess. I don't know. But it's very obvious they're putting them together in that orbit together, and it seems to be leading that way. And my U-verse description said something about Lucas and Adrian grow closer or something like that. So anyway, so there's that.
Brittany, Justin, and Adrian, haven't they been married like 4 times or something? We have problem with Justin. He's on twice a year. So what the hell is the point of even splitting them up? Just let him alone.
But I guess it gives them some story, too. So I don't know.
But I think the whole story is
how. Who knows?
I put to the story is this is going to help break up Will and Sonny. Lucas breaks up Sonny's parents' marriage. That's one thing I think of. I mean, Brian and Judy are still on recurring. So.
Sonny and Will have their own problems with their own marriage. I think they were. So let's see. So there's Ben and Abigail. He said he loved her. And, you know, blah blah blah. So.
That's nice.
What's that?
So that's nice. Next.
JJ wasn't on at all this week. JJ and Paige and Eve were not at all, which is kind of nice. I mean, I like JJ. There was no JJ, there was no Paige.
Damn it. I could have watched Thursday and Friday then if I knew that.
Yeah. You could have been cut a break. I no offense to Cassie DePie because I'm sure she's very sweet. But this character is driving me crazy. I don't think they're writing her well. And I mean, she's very talented, obviously. But it's an awful character. Terribly written, ill-conceived. I don't know why she's there. I really, so on and so forth. So let's not even talk about her. She wasn't even on this week. I do like JJ, though, but... and Paige, I want to like her, but I don't know. I mean, they're sweet, they're cute, but they don't have the kind of chemistry Bo and Hope had. You know what I mean? I think JJ's he's adorable, and I really, really do like him, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of chemistry with those two. But anyway, and the Eve, I guess there's even more chemistry with him and Eve than there is with him and Paige. But, and then there's Daniel. We got to see a shirtless Daniel on top of Nicole this week. So there you go. They've decided to be completely honest with each other from here on out. How many times have we done that? But they have slept together again. They're back together. And they're taking it one day at a time. It's interesting because as soon as they got done having that conversation, Nicole gets a tip from an anonymous source that is basically, diming out Serena as some bad news chick. She's up to no good kind of thing. And, of course, she's probably going to be afraid to tell Daniel because she doesn't want him to think that she's still in love with Eric. But she's going to pursue this leak. She's going to pursue this this information. And then, somehow, it's going to blow up in her face like it always does. So. And then there were some flashbacks of Eric and Serena back in the day.
Everybody loves fake flashbacks.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about those two. I haven't really seen that much of Serena because I haven't been watching. I watched this week, but I haven't watched much for a while. And, I don't know. She's kind of a brat. I don't know does anyone know yet what her secret is, or are we all in the dark on that one?
Better than Jordan's secret.
Oh, geez. Yeah, exactly. But at least Eric, maybe we'll get to see a shirt with Eric again, other than in flashbacks. But I wish it were with somebody other than her. But anyway, I guess she's okay. I don't know. It's like there's all these characters we don't even know that are, like, on the screen right now that I'm kind of like, ugh. Anyway, let's see. Oh, then there's Brady and Melanie. What do you think of that dynamic?
I cannot handle one more awkward scene with them. I'm tired of awkward. I'm tired of Melanie rambling and babbling like an idiot. And now they met
the
one. Yeah, last I saw on Wednesday, Brady Hewitt, that he wanted to try to date her, too.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
they
don't look right together. It's old for her.
I always thought they were more like brother-sister dynamic. You know, big brother, little sister. So, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Because I liked their dynamic. I always liked their dynamic before she left the first time. But I liked it as a brother-sister kind of thing. And so it's kind of weird for me to see that they're kissing, you know, and stuff. I don't know. It's a little different. I don't know. And, of course, this is going to set up all kinds of conflict because Maggie's not going to want her granddaughter with some alcoholic, drug-abusing, you know, whatever, no matter how much she loves Brady. And Daniel's not going to like it. So now that he tells Melanie, yeah, Nicole and I are back together, she's like, okay, well, you just remember that, you know, basically because she knows he's not going to like it that she's going to be with Brady. So she's just like, okay, let's just agree that we can see who we want to see. You just remember that, Dad. So setting that up. So we obviously can see that all coming down the road. And let's see. I don't know. Did you see the part about the rattle with Teresa, the baby rattle?
Yeah.
I think that happened towards the end of the week. Yeah, so she sees this rattle at the hospital, right?
She picked it up at the hospital. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, I think it was at the end of the week, she's bawling her eyes out, and Melanie walks up behind her and sees her and actually feels bad for her, and then Teresa gets all defensive, freaks out, and leaves. And says, yeah, you know, whatever. And Melanie's like, did you have a baby? Why do you assume I gave up a baby or something? You know. So anyway, so Melanie's trying to figure all this out. I guess she didn't know that Teresa was pregnant with Brady's baby at one point, or supposedly. So obviously Teresa's having nightmares and all this stuff about when she was kidnapped and then when they took the baby, supposedly, the embryo from her and, you know, and implanted it in Kristen and all that stuff. So she's having more and more flashbacks about that and nightmares. So the rattle triggered a lot of emotion. She, like, bawled her eyes out and everything. And so there's that.
So how do you like the house? What do you think about Teresa and Brady having a baby? Eventually,
I gotta say, I've been going back and watching some of the episodes I missed from the fall, and you know how I know you like Kristen, but you know how I've always hated Kristen. Well, I actually liked her more this time around, and and I was thinking, you know, this actually could be a pretty good plot twist, you know, as far as stealing embryos stories go, for Kristen to come back with Teresa and Brady's baby. That's going to upset the apple cart big time when that happens, when everyone finally figures out that's what it is. I think that's actually kind of a good, I don't know, that could be a good story, I guess.
And I mean, they keep dropping things like Brady's like, yeah, I'm so glad we didn't have a baby. I can't even imagine us trying to raise a kid. So, you know.
And she's like, yeah, gee, thanks, Brady. You know, like, I'm not capable of that, you know, kind of thing, you know. So they're like, you know, of course they're totally going overboard on that dynamic because we all know that she's got a baby out there somewhere that's going to come back. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to – I would imagine right about the time Melanie and Brady get really involved and fall in love is when the Teresa Brady baby will come back to town. Don't you think? And then, of course, Kristen will still want Brady. She'll be trying to get Brady back. So, I don't know. So, I really would have liked to have seen more Clyde and Kate this week, but we didn't really. They were on, but they weren't on really together. So, I really like James Reed. He's really. We interviewed him with Lauren. His voice was so sexy. I was just like, oh, man, he needs to.
reduce the drawl a little bit, and his real voice is really, really very sexy. but anyway, let's see. Oh, what else happened?
Kayla told Hope that Aiden threatened Bree, and he confirmed
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, talk about that whole story, because I love Hayden. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's up to something's going on there.
mm-hmm. Yeah. He did, and then he said that he thought about suing Bree for defamation of character and libel and all that in Portland, but didn't do it. And then he showed Hope a bunch of emails that Bree had sent him in the past. And then Hope made a comment that she hates angry women who can't spell. And that cracked me up. Hope said she hates angry women who can't spell.
And you know
that's a pet peeve of mine too. It drives me nuts when people use bad grammar and bad spelling on social media.
Me too.
Remember, that's why Leanne said she would never join social media because it would drive her nuts seeing everybody's poor spelling.
Oh, that's right.
It's true. So, apparently, Bree can't spell. So, there you go there.
Daniel Cosgrove is so dreamy, though. I just love him.
Yeah, and then Aiden figured out that Hope knew that Rafe was covering for Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something. Yeah, and then he said something about her being loyal, and he didn't want her to confirm it. He told her to sit there and don't say anything, and don't confirm that you knew Rafe.
Yeah.
Covered up for Gabby. So I mean, Rafe Hope's covered up a lot of stuff. I mean, Chelsea killed two people. They covered it up. I mean, Nick killed two people.
Was that Aiden's way of kind of keeping Hope in check a little bit, maybe? I'm not the only one that has secrets kind of thing?
I didn't get that impression. I got that impression he didn't want her to incriminate herself. And she didn't. She never confirmed or denied any of it. She just kept her mouth shut. So, no. And the thing is, too, it's his word against hers. If he did try to use that against her, there's no proof that she knew. So, the thing is, too, I'm glad it got brought up. But I guess they weren't going to prosecute against Rafe because Aiden got him off, basically.
Uh-huh.
But, they didn't mention, though, that Jack and Madison died because of that. Because of the whole kidnapping thing. They just said there was death and injuries. But let's not forget, Gabby's the reason why Jack's dead.
Forgot about that.
And no one told Jennifer. And so, and Hope knew that all along. Hope didn't tell her cousin.
Oh, that's right.
that just occurred to me, yeah. Hope never told Jen, Gabby didn't tell anybody where Melanie was, and, and Knucklehead started a fire and on the gas line and all that. And, well, the thing is, too, they were saying they didn't want to, the politicians didn't let it out. Well, Abe was the mayor when all that went down.
wasn't EJ the mayor?
EJ was mayor for long. I think it was Abe. I'm pretty sure it was Abe.
Oh, okay.
I thought he made a big to-do and about opening up the... I thought it was Abe.
Okay, it might have been, yeah.
Neither one of them was mayor for very long.
Yeah. So. Those things are very interchangeable anyway. One day you're commissioner, the next day you're staff sergeant, the next day you're, on latrine duty.
That's the thing. I never said how Dave got back on the police force, and I guess Roman's still commissioner. But sometimes, and depending where you live, a commissioner is a job. Sometimes you're appointed and sometimes you're elected, I think.
Yeah.
But that seems like that was an appointed position.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, did you... Victor called Roman an idiot. That was funny, too.
He called who an idiot?
Roman. He's on a race car.
Oh, yeah.
Iron.
Idiot. Yeah, that was funny.
You're like, where's not the that come from?
I'm gonna call that idiot Roman and have.
Jamie has a great idea in the chat room. She wants Nicole to adopt Teresa and Brady's baby. That's brilliant.
Let me think about
that. Yeah, I think she would keep it though.
Yeah,
but,
please.
Wait, Parker's never on anymore, is he? Hardly, except for Christmas for a little bit.
Who?
Parker's never hardly on anymore.
Parker, yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen him since Christmas. It's going back a couple of weeks, but we haven't done a show since then. I loved Ape's Santa Claus. So that was awesome.
You loved who?
Abe was Santa Claus at the hospital.
Oh, that's cool. I've had those on my DVR still. I missed a lot of those shows there for a while.
Yeah,
I haven't even seen the Christmas stuff yet.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
That's such a nice choice. And they had me reading the Christmas story, and Theo was an elf, and
cute.
It was really cute. Yeah, it was cute. They had all the kids at the Horton House, they had Parker there, and Ciara, and Theo, and it was really cute. Oh, and John was in an episode. He went to Teresa's house, and Teresa's like, John's going to be interview Brady's wife, which is hilarious. Because why is he showing up at Teresa's if he's not interfering with Brady? Mm-hmm. And Teresa's like, we're over anyway, and I moved on, and she pretty much kicks him out of the apartment. And then John thought, I'll call Brady kid. I'm like, okay, he's what, 40, 41 years old. This is a little goofy. And, and told him that he'd stay out of his life, but he visited Teresa and he just wanted to be honest about it. So that's what John has learned. After being caught in the head, that he's just going to interfere in Brady's life, but he's not going to keep it a secret anymore.
Okay. Oh, man.
That was funny. Okay. That's good, John. Yeah.
Sonny lost all his. So Chad must have done something to make Sonny lose his business, because now Sonny came crawling to him and saying, look, I guess you get the business because I lost everything. And Chad was like, no, I'd never do that. You know, we'll get it back. We'll do it. You know, we'll work together, you know. So basically, like you alluded to earlier, that she is setting Sonny up for something. I don't know what, but basically now Sonny's beholden to Chad big time. So.
Yeah, and the whole thing is kind of odd. Like we were saying in chat room, I don't understand why Chad wants Sonny beholden to. I guess the only reason I could think why Chad's putting the screws to Sonny is he wants Sonny to be the bad guy in the fire ban. That's the only thing I could think of.
I don't know.
But I think there's also a bigger dynamic. There's a bigger dynamic there somehow. I don't know if it's Kiriakis versus Demira or what. But,
yeah, but it seems like all week gearing up, though, because Clyde pretty much said on Wednesday he was going to declare war on Victor.
Yeah.
So, it should be kind of odd. Unless you're going to do a three-way with
Demira
and Kiriakis.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, so Clyde had a scene with Jeremy where he said something about the trucking business.
So that he's going to be stepping on Victor's toes pretty soon again.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a resident
shit-stirrer,
I guess.
Yeah, I didn't realize Victor was in trucking. I mean, they always said he was the import-export business.
Shipping, yeah, he was in shipping, but
yeah.
Being Greek and all, you know. But,
yeah,
you know,
he
but,
has a cosmetics company. He has magazines.
Titan Publishing.
Yeah.
So
I guess he's now in the trucking.
Yeah.
Yep, he drives the big wigs, you know.
yeah. So we'll see. They're setting something up, you can tell, but not sure where that's all going yet. But I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
So I mentioned at the beginning, I'm assuming was Chad the one who picked this awful property for them to renovate for another club?
Yeah, I think so.
So Chad was the one who picked it?
I'm not sure, but I think somehow Chad sabotaged the deal. I've missed some episodes, so I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm pretty sure Chad was the one that caused the problems to put Sonny in the deficit so that he had to come calling to Chad. But I don't know what he did. You know, I just know that something, I don't know.
Well, it just seems odd, too, that Sonny invested all this money in a building that's a lease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see maybe, renovating the inside to suit the business, but he shouldn't be responsible for a new roof.
Having been in commercial real estate, I have seen businesses go in and spend way more than their TI allowance, their build-out allowance, and get in way over their head before they even, flip one set of pancakes, or whatever,
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something that can happen. I guess they're talking something about a roof or this or that or the other, but, there also should be some recourse, too, if your general contractor is screwing you over or something like that, too. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but whatever it is, Sonny supposedly lost all his money, and all of Will's money, too, apparently. So, at least, so now he's beholden to Chad, and I don't know where that's going to go, but. So, anyway, I miss Cammie. I miss Kate and Sammy. Mm-hmm. I loved those two together. They were so much fun the last several months. And I'm just, really in mourning still that Cammie's gone. I'm like, what?
I'm missing everybody else. I wanted to talk about the Bay a little bit. They just finished their last season. If you haven't watched it, there was some definitely WTF type of moments. I mean, if you haven't watched it, Mary Beth Evans is the star. She's the heroine of the show. And
Myself I'm going to, but I haven't gone back and watched after the first few, so I'm behind on that.
Mm-hmm. This means spoilers, so if people want to mute for a couple of minutes. Well, the show took a surprising turn because Sarah's daughter, Marley, appears to have died in a car accident, but we don't see the body. Kind of knows, might know that she wasn't the one who was killed. And Marley's played by Martha Madison, who was the last Belle on Days of Our Lives. So I'm like, that'd be really weird if they killed off Martha Madison, but she's been on the show since the beginning, and So I thought, maybe they did it because she just had a baby and all that. But, it was the weirdest funeral. It was so soapy. The funeral was just fantastic. A drunken woman you know, thrown a scene, and the ex-husband and the child and her child and his new girlfriend and new girlfriend's throwing a scene at the wedding and at the funeral, and then Evans's character gets arrested at the funeral. I mean, it was just something else. Pretty much everything happened except for, you know, someone having sex right there on top of the casket. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was really good. It's very interesting. So, and they killed off quite a few people this year, too. So, but, yeah, I really recommend everybody checking out the past season. Ron Moss is on there now. A ton of Santa Barbara stars, Jed Allen, Judith McConnell. Oh, Jed Allen wasn't on this season, I'm sorry, but he's been in the past. Lane Davies, A. Martinez is on there, and yes, it was practically a reunion of Santa Barbara with some of the characters. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's almost like an all-star soap. Some of the best actors that I grew up watching. So, it is really good. Oh, and Jade Harlow's on there, who played Cheryl on Days. Her character
I love her. They should have kept her on. I really liked her and Lucas together.
Yeah, she's kind of, her character's kind of basically like the Nicole Walker of the Bay. Like nothing good ever happens for her. Yeah, she just found out her mother was sleeping with her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
And she's kind of the doormat of the Bay, you know. But anyway, it was really good. I just want to make sure, I haven't really talked about it this past year, but if you kind of gave up on it, want to come back in, I recommend it, but it was really good. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, we need to shout out Bob and Amy Hapka, at Bob Hapka, at Amy Hapka on Twitter. And I know Amy had surgery on her arm, and she's getting healed up. Hopefully, we're sending hugs their way. I know I think she made Bob breakfast the other day, which is good. I know, or something. It seemed like he was happy about, or maybe it was coffee. I don't remember. But I know Amy's had a tough go of it in the last while, so we're sending our love to them. I know a very good husband, and we're hoping that Amy gets better soon, and at least, I mean, she's going to have that dragged out quite a bit longer, and so glad, you know. Basically, our Bob came to the rescue and said, "You're going to do the surgery on her now, so she could be out of some pain finally." So hopefully, she's healing up and getting better. So we're sending our love to them, and and also Jan. I know have been having some challenges, so we're sending our love to her as well and to him.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, anybody else? But let's see, anybody else, anything going on with anybody else that you're aware of?
No, just remember, December was a bad month.
So
health problems with our friends.
Yeah.
I was going to say, too, Bob was an awesome caregiver for Amy, too.
Yeah.
If you follow Bob Hapka on Facebook, he's really did a great job taking care of his wife. Poor Amy was in pain for weeks with that arm of hers, and he really took care of her. So I just wouldn't say that's awesome of Bob. Good for him, you know?
Yeah. Let's see, and you can follow. You can find Lauren Coslow on Twitter at Lauren Coslow. You can find Teo Penglis at Teo Penglis. You can find
and
me
that
at
reminds me. Yeah, that reminds me. Again, I think it happens every year, though. So our digest said they listed the characters that should come back in 2015, and number one was Tony D'Amiro.
Yes.
So, but I'm not making this up. I think Tony's been on the list every single year. I am not joking.
Of course. I'm pretty damn sure he did.
Yeah.
He doesn't get enough credit on Days of Our Lives, that's for sure. But, I mean, he had a good comeback on General Hospital, so I'd love to see him come back to Days for their 50th anniversary year.
Yeah, I mean.
He needs to make, he's a man, he can make an entrance. Can you imagine everybody thinks he's dead again,
yeah.
and he comes
yeah.
back? Oh, my gosh. Just in time, wouldn't it be perfect, just when little Chad thinks he's got it all figured out and he's in charge
mm-hmm.
of the Empire, Big Brother Tony shows up. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love to see those two work together. That would be great.
This would be a great teaser. Showing Chad's plans unraveling and Chad figuring out someone is unraveling his plans, but he can't figure out who's
yes.
doing it. And, yeah, that'd be really good. And the audience thinking, well, maybe it's EJ, you know, maybe EJ's back from
yeah.
the dead, maybe EJ's you know, toying with him,
uh-huh.
it's Kristen. And then it turns out it's
uh-huh.
Tony.
Oh, that would be
yeah.
awesome.
I love it. And we can get the whole Demira Mansion back, not just one itty-bitty tiny little room.
Yeah.
You get
yeah,
the whole shebang.
They've carved down the, I think for ease of filming and stuff, I think they've carved out some smaller pieces for the Kyriakos. For Casa Kyriakos and the mansion, they're cutting them down a little bit.
It looks so bad. And on top of that, you have the Bold and the Beautiful that do at least like two remote location shots a year.
Oh, nice. Lucky them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think they were in Abu Dhabi this past year. I mean,
we haven't seen real trees on Days of Our Lives in a long time.
I think the last time someone was outside for real was when they did that Oscar montage during the Olympics, and they shot Josh Taylor outside in front of the Hollywood sign making a phone call.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And yeah, the
See,
last time we had an outdoor scene.
This tells you how bad it is on Days of Our Lives as far as remote locations and live and real shots. The last one I really remember was Mazatlan, Marlena and Roman. That goes way back to the 80s. Oh, man. But, yeah, so it's been a while. It's been a dry spell for Days. So.
They can even stay in the States.
Oh,
like,
awesome.
Get
this. Oh, did you see the thing, too, about Mary Beth tweeting something about patches and Stephen Stephen, what's his name? Nichols,
yes.
tweeting something about is there something maybe on the horizon? Because now that Kayla's trying to date again and everything, I'm wondering if maybe they're headed back for a patch return.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would think they wouldn't want that spoiled, or it could be just Mary Beth stirring the pot some. I hope he does come back.
Maybe they were just doing
really,
some sort of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun. I thought that was funny. Speaking of Mary Beth, I thought it was hilarious. Her date for New Year's Eve was it Bob?
Yeah.
Bob, Silent Bob. So funny. And then Eric's trying to make conversation with him, and he's like, "So, are you a Packers fan? No. You're a Bears fan? No." I was cracking up. I was like, oh, we can all relate to that one. But anyway, so yep, so. But, the poor Kayla's on the.
They should do a online dating storyline. I think that'd be interesting. Why not have Kayla do that? That's something they've never done. And then,
yeah.
you know,
well, that's what she said.
It would be nice if they hid who the guy was. That she, yeah, there you go. She's dating online.
Oh,
she doesn't realize it's her ex-husband.
She
it could be her ex-husband.
Him, but she doesn't realize it's him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like, she falls in love with this guy with a certain picture, and then when he shows up to the blind date, you know, it ends up being Pat. I love that. That would
be awesome.
Yeah. You come back and say, "Hey, sweetness." I would die. That would be awesome.
I want to not see him first, though. I want to hear the harmonica first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I still go back to when they tried to break into the mansion to get those letters back in. And Pat was trying to stall Andre. Oh, my gosh. Those were some friggin' hilarious scenes. And then, like, Tony and Bart ended up passed out on the couch. They got blazes or whatever. And they were all passed out on the couch in the mansion. And Pat was over there trying to, oh, my gosh. Those were classic. Those were just classic scenes. Oh, man. I miss those days.
See, it's not hard to write good stories, and we just came up with a whole bunch of great ones.
We just came up with all kinds of material, and we haven't even given it any thought. We're just off the top of our head. Characters are so rich, and there's so much history. There's so many different ways that you could make this. And on the writing for a minute, I know Jamie and Angela probably can appreciate this. What I want to know is, how is it that they could write such phenomenal material for the show for a year between, you know, Cammy and Gabby pitching Nick into the water, you know, thinking that he's dead, to his return, to his eventual murder, to the whole Cammy thing, to the whole EJ getting back together, EJ and Sammy getting back together. I mean, all these different things. And then the whole Abigail-Gabby thing. I mean, just all that drama. It's almost like they saved it all up for the last year, and then they used it up, and now they can't think of anything. It's like, wait a minute. It's like, holy crap, it was so good for a while. And I was just like, man. And then the whole Clyde coming to town, I really enjoyed Clyde and Kate together initially. And so it's just like, and it just seems like the wheels fell off all of a sudden. And now, I mean, I know you said you like Paul and all. I guess he's okay, but like, it seems like it's Paul all the time and Serena and some of these other folks that I really don't, you know, I mean, they're okay, but it's, I don't know. They're not my favorite, you know, they're not my vets. They're not my favorites, you know, and stuff. I don't know. So anyway, I just wonder because it's the same people. It's not like we've changed personnel or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the dialogue writers are all the same, and they're usually still pretty good. Certain ones, like the Flipping Group, they're still really good, Melissa Simmons. But, like, the overall story, I know they had to transition big time after all the exits in November, December, or everything, or November, I guess it was October, November. So I understand that they're having to, like, you know, I know there's usually, like, a transition period where you don't know what the heck's going on and we don't know what's building. I guess they're building to some umbrella stories, but it's kind of, it's so hard because it's like it was so good. It was must-see TV for a while. And now it's just like, oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Just a thought. I don't know. But anyway, I guess that's all I had to contribute to this point. That's all, my parting thought. It would be nice to kind of have a sunshine, a ray of hope that
we'll
get for soon.
Yeah. So, I didn't even check my schedule. Hopefully we can do the show next weekend. And hopefully, the show will be better next week.
we can always hope springs eternal.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Anna.
It's great to be back. It's great to be over the flu.
Yes.
So anyway, we'll take care, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, for show 201. So.
Oh gosh. All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.